I wish I could sit here and tell you all the years and things that have happened to me, like has to Doug Carter at this camp, but I can't because it's our first time here. So unfortunately, we don't have the history and the stories with you guys, but hopefully this is the start of some stories that we'll have for years to come. And we've really enjoyed so far getting to know a number of you and just being here and worshiping together. We just arrived back in the U.S. about 2 weeks before we got here. And so what better way to get back into the States than to sit down and just worship with some good people and be able to fellowship together. And so we've been really enjoying our time. We've got four kids that you won't have seen. So a couple of them are here, but the other two are not with us. We have twin boys who are 18 who are just graduated high school and are off starting to do their own thing they've just gotten back to the States too. And then our younger two, Chloe and Henry, are here with us, and you might see them running around some. They're pretty shy, so they probably won't come up and introduce themselves. But if you do see them, you can chat with them. We have been serving in Papua New Guinea. We first got there about 19 years ago. We were married 20 years ago and got there 19 years ago, and so we've spent a good chunk of our life there in PNG. And we'll share more of that story with you tonight. We're just going to share a little bit this morning, but God has worked through us and worked in us quite a bit in those last 19 years and taught us a lot as we've ministered alongside of other missionaries and of people from PNG in training and working alongside the church. Big part of what we've done is training pastors and working with the church in equipping pastors and sending them out. And again, well, I'll share some more of those stories tonight, so you're going to want to make sure to come back and hear those. But just in the last couple of years, WGM asked me to step into the role of area team leader, which is basically just a fancy term that means I'm now in leadership over Papua New Guinea, Cambodia, and another country there in Southeast Asia, that one that for security reasons we don't talk about as much. But in that role, I've now been able to be a part of a lot more ministries, a lot more of what God is doing. And so our role has gone from just being focused in Papua New Guinea and focused in what our ministry is to a broader range of ministries. And so we still have a local focus there in PNG, and Erica's going to share about that in a minute. But then we also have a broader focus as well. And through the role as area team leader, it means that I get to be a part of so much of what God is doing, and it's so exciting to see what He's doing in those countries and be a part of it. And there in PNG, a big focus of ours is biblical education and discipleship. And so with our Christian Union Bible College, we're training pastors, working alongside the church to send them out. And right now we've got husbands and wives who are coming to the Bible College and getting educated together, getting biblical training. We got, for example, one couple, Kennedy and Methelin, who Kennedy was saved I think it's less than 2 years ago now, and he's been at the Bible College for the last year and a half, because as soon as he was saved, God said, now I want you to go to Bible College and I want you to be a pastor and work for me. And so he quickly turned around and headed right to the Bible College and has been there, and it's been amazing to see God work in his life as he's preparing both Kennedy and Methelin to go back out and serve in their community. We've got church planning and discipleship happening there in PNG. We've got a family living out in what we call the bush, the rural areas, where they are working alongside and living alongside a community of people. And there's a group of about 20 young men that meet weekly in a discipleship group. And these are young men who many of them aren't even saved yet. A number of them have gotten saved over the last year through this discipleship, through this Bible study. And the rest of them are seeking and wanting, and so they're coming and they're learning about God and are part of that. And so it's neat to see how God is working in their lives. And then in Cambodia, we've got a church plant that just has been started. And there's young families, young couples coming to this church who have grown up Buddhist, have grown up not believing in Christ, but believing that you don't know much about Buddhism, basically believing that through your works, you will be able to reach heaven. You'll be able to reach where you need to go. And so They're now learning that it's not about works, it's not about what they do, but it's about who they know and who they have a relationship with. And so seeing these young families, these young couples, their lives change, it's amazing to see. And then there's actually in that same church, in that same ministry, they're beginning to start a dorm ministry where young women who are going to university will come and live in their church building and be discipled daily. And then also as they go into the universities, then they'll be able to share with the other students that are there as well. And so it's exciting to see. In South Korea, which is the other country that we oversee, our missionary is working at a university and teaching English in that university. And though she's not able to share about God in class, the students there know through her life that she is a Christian and that she does love God. And so after class, when the students come to see her in her office and come to talk to her, she is allowed to share with them. And there's one young man who came to her recently and said, you're a Christian, aren't you? And she said, well, yes, I definitely am. And he said, well, I don't know God, but I want to. I want to. And so she's been able to share with him and work with him. And he hasn't saved yet. He's just seeking. He's searching. And she's working alongside of him. And so you can be praying for the many young people, those in PNG who are training to be pastors and are being discipled in Bible study, those in Cambodia who are starting to attend this church plant, and even those at the university there in South Korea, that God will work in all of their lives and God will bring them to him.
So as Benji said, our ministry, God has expanded it beyond our wildest dreams. But he has still given us a heart and opportunity to work with the people in Papua New Guinea and our neighbors there. And one story I'd like to share with you is about a time when all of our missionaries had gathered in our house for a meeting. And we were getting ready to start the meeting, and Henry and one of his friends busted in, which they know they're not supposed to come in the house when we're having a missionary meeting. So I was just about to give him the stink eye. And he's like, Sophia's dead. Sophia's dead. And Sophia was my friend's 6-year-old daughter. And so right away, I ran outside to see what was going on. And Sophia wasn't dead yet. She had been raped and mostly drowned in the river behind our college. And God had led our pastor, and he found her what he thought was just rags that somebody had left from doing their laundry. And I went to her, and really, she just looked more like a pile of bloody rags than a child. And I picked her up and put her in the car, and we drove to the hospital with her and her mother. And as I carried her into the emergency room, and if you've ever traveled overseas and you know what a government hospital in a city is like, it's an experience. But I went into the emergency room, and her mother is understandably yelling and screaming and very distraught. And I laid her down on this slab, and I just went up to her head and I started cleaning the gravel and the grit out of her hair and rubbing her forehead and what I would do for my own daughter, and just whispering any comforting words and prayers of just asking and begging the Holy Spirit to come and minister to her heart, because she was in such shock. And once Sophia was out of the hospital, her mother came to see me, and she was really concerned about who had done this to her daughter, because the police aren't a force that could help. So she had been to what they call a prayer woman to find out who had done this to her daughter. And after receiving the payment, the woman had cast spells and said chants and given her clues from God, supposedly, as to who had done this to her daughter. And so my friend had shared this with me, and for the first time, God had opened the door for me to be able to speak to her about the difference between Jesus and sorcery and evil spirits. And through many years of my friend coming to my house, and we'd sit and have coffee, and she would always tell stories of what somebody else was doing with evil spirits and who else was seeing the black magic or the witch doctors. And I was able to ask her questions and to share scripture with her, and it just gently, over the course of time, over cups of coffee, share those things with her. And I can tell you now that she is one of the strongest people I know that will stand up against sorcery and black magic and evil. And she will call pastors out. She will call people who are in places of authority and say, you should know better. That's not following Jesus. And I am just so thankful that God has allowed me to be on his team, to be able to share that with her. And I would just ask that you would think about how God wants you to be part of our team. I have pictures of Sophia and her mom, if you would like to see them. And I have lots of stories about her mom's amazing journey. You can see me afterwards. We've just recently released a video. And if you would like to get our videos and our updates, we would love to send those to you if you give us your email.
Good morning. Wow, what a welcome. Thank you. I appreciate so much the opportunity again. Whenever we come to Taylor County Camp Meeting, it's like coming home. You all are friends, and thank you for the warm welcome that you always extend to us. We're John and Beth Malheisen, and we've been with WGM now for 37 years. And you can't get to this point in your missionary career without wondering, what has God done through your life? You start thinking about those things. Was it worth it? Has it been worth it? Will I do it again? And just recently, God has given me a couple of snippets of what he has done with something that we were able to be involved in the beginning part of it. One of those is a church plant in Nairobi in the Dunholm Estate. God led us to plant a church there, and we started it back in 1994. And we started with just a small VBS. We took our church staff up from Good Shepherd Church over to that area. And the first day of VBS, we had 10 kids. By Friday, we had over 100 coming. And that Sunday morning, when we had the VBS program, we had rented a school, and the schoolroom was full of their parents. Now, from that day, the church didn't always have a lot of people in it, and it took a while for it to grow. And I was amazed just recently. I was looking through Facebook, and I found where they were dedicating their sanctuary, a huge sanctuary, back in December, to the glory of God. And it came from just the little part that we had starting that VBS and planting that church. Folks, that's fruit for you all. As you prayed, as you gave, God gave the fruit. In 2012, we had the opportunity to go up into South Sudan for the first time. And we've gotten involved in community health evangelism. And it's a ministry where we go out into our villages and we teach them lessons on their physical health. We teach them lessons on about the Bible, truth that's in the Bible, Bible stories. And we train trainers so that they can go out into their villages and do the same thing. And so we were invited to go up by another ministry into South Sudan. And I can remember the first time in April of 2012 when we flew over that country of South Sudan. And I said, Lord, how do you want me to pray for this country? And the words that came to me were the words from the chorus, shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set their hearts on fire. Let me tell you, I just read their latest newsletter. We were only able to make 4 trips up there to provide training for them. But I just read their latest newsletter this morning. And I'm going to tell you that they now have 38 CHAE centers up in South Sudan. They're hoping to have another 19 by the end of this year. And they have planted 21 churches in this time from that ministry. We only had a small part at the very beginning, but God has multiplied it. And God has is working out his purposes over that land. He's answering my prayer. You know, many times, I can remember maybe 20 years ago, I was out for my morning walk. And I said, Lord, I need a promise from your word for the situation that I'm going through. And he said, Beth, this book, my word is full of promises, and they are all for you. If you go through my Bible, I have so many verses marked. There's a verse that says it's for Uganda. There's a verse that says it's for South Sudan. There's a verse that says it's for Africa. A couple of years ago, God gave me a verse for WGM. And I thought, well, that's strange. Why is God changing my focus from just Africa to WGM as a whole? And then a couple of years ago, I guess it's been 3 years ago now, when we were getting ready to go back to the field to Uganda, we were asked to go to WGM headquarters and to get involved in something else. We always seem to get in at the beginning of things. That's what God has asked us to do. And so I joined Paula's team, Paula Christ. WGM hadn't had ever had a human resources department, and so Paula asked if I would help her to develop that. And I've been very happy to do that. It's a lot of administrative work, not something that I would have chosen to do. But whatever, I have found that over the years, everything that God has asked me to do, when I step out in obedience, he's always faithful, and he seems to give me the gifts that I need for that time. And he's been faithful to do that this time as well. Whether I'm encouraging missionaries, whether I'm involved in the hiring process for people at headquarters, trying to find those people that will fit in well with what we want to accomplish through WGM. You know, in this day and age, we can look and we say, well, I don't know. We can shake our heads and say, I don't know what this world's coming to. Is WGM going to be able to make it? Let me tell you, friends, God has given me a promise. And he is always faithful. Always faithful. He always keeps his word. And I know, because he's given me a promise, WGM is going to be able to stay faithful through the years. God is going to use WGM to reach around the globe with his message. God is going to use WGM until he comes again. I know, because he's promised me. And I don't know what you all are going through today, but I want you to know that the promises in his word, they're not just for me. They're for you too. So you find a promise that he's giving you, and you hold on to that. You believe, because our hope is a sure thing in him. I'm looking forward to that day when we stand around the throne of God, and we're going to see people from every tribe, every country, every nation, talking in lots of different languages, but we're all going to be praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ together. Praise his name.
Have you ever had the Lord frustrate you a little bit? Or he puts you in a situation that is sometimes a bit frustrating? When I finished high school, I wanted to be a professional photographer, cinematographer, and video producer. And so I enrolled at the Art Institute of Pittsburgh and was majoring in media and video production. The church I was attending had a missions conference. And God had been making me somewhat dissatisfied about the direction I was going. And I was praying to the Lord, and I said, Lord, what have you got for me? And during the missions conference, the Lord gave me a verse. He gave you a promise. He gave me this verse. It's from Habakkuk chapter 2. And Habakkuk said, I'm going to stand on my watch. He was frustrated because God was slow at answering his prayer. Anybody ever been a bit, feel like God's a little... Yeah. I'll stand on my watch, and I'll set myself on the rampart. I'll watch to see what he'll say to me and what I'll answer when I'm corrected. And then the Lord answered me, and he said this, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, it will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it, it'll surely come, it will not tarry. And so I said, Lord, you gave me that. You said, if I just am patient, you're going to make it plain. And then when it's plain, what am I supposed to do? Communicate it to others who will run with it. So that's what I was holding on to. And during the missions conference at that church, God called me to be a missionary. On a Thursday afternoon service when I was cutting class. And that was in fulfillment of something God had done a year earlier at a camp meeting like this in a missionary service. They were doing a missionary service. Missionaries were sharing their testimonies, showed how God was at work around the world. And I sat there and said, that's just incredible, man, the stuff that God's doing. That's really, really neat. And then they gave an invitation at the end. Now, they were raising money, but they were also saying, now, if God is calling you to be a missionary, come on down to the front. We'll pray with you. I didn't feel God calling me to be a missionary. But then they gave a second invitation. Oh, by the way, I did sign up to take support. That was the first time I signed up as a high school kid to take support in a missionary. I didn't go forward for the invitation to be a missionary, but then the final invitation was, if God calls you, are you willing to say yes? And if you're saying, Lord, I give you a yes in advance if you call and make it clear. And I said yes on that one. And that was the conference, and that vision was what God put into place there for me. I praise God for the influence of camp meetings in my own life. I really do. A couple years back, we were over at Indian Springs. And it's very embarrassing when you're the missionary at a camp meeting and the evangelist is preaching and the Spirit puts you under conviction. And I walked into that service, and as soon as he announced the scripture, I knew I had to hit the altar that day. The scripture was this: why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the things that I say? Now, I had given my heart to Christ. I was a believer. I had even asked the Lord to cleanse my heart and sanctify me at a camp meeting. And yet I found myself as a missionary, and there were places where God was asking me to do stuff, asking me to trust him, and I was struggling. I was struggling. And as soon as I heard the scripture, the Lord, have you ever had the Lord do that to you? Well, the Lord just kind of wraps his arm around you and says, that's for you. This one's for you. And I praise the Lord, because what we have found, what Beth and I both have found, is that God asks us to do stuff, and he's asking for us to be obedient step by step. Sometimes in small stuff, sometimes in big stuff. We were on the field, and we were putting out a newsletter, prayer letter. And we had a stack of letters and a stack of envelopes, and that was back in the day. You remember when we used to use those airmail envelopes that had the red and the blue stripes all around the edges? Some of you remember those days. And we were stuffing those letters. And one of the Kenyan ladies, we were in Kenya at the time, came in and saw us stuffing envelopes, and she said, well, what are you doing? And we said, well, we're sending letters to, you know, our supporters and our prayer partners. And she said, how many letters are you mailing out? Well, at the time, we had about 500 people on our mailing list. And she said, do you mean to tell me you got 500 people who send you money every month? I said, I wish we had 500 people sending us money every month. I said, no, maybe about 100 folks have a bit of our support. I said, most of these are folks who pray for us. And she said, do you mean to tell me you got 500 people praying for you? Now, you know, and I know, that we don't really always pray over every missionary newsletter we get. But a lot of us do. And a lot of us share those newsletters with our spouse, with our Sunday school class, the rest of our family. And so I said, we probably have more than 500 people who pray for us. And she got very quiet. And she said, oh, so that explains the fire. God is at work. And we may be obedient in small things, but God is asking all of us to be obedient in big things. You know, God calls some of us to go. He calls more of us to let go. He calls all of us to help go. There's a story in the Bible which irritates me immensely. You know, it's not so much the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts of the Bible I do understand that bother me. That's a quote from a very famous theologian named Mark Twain. And you probably remember the story of Jesus was out teaching and there was a big crowd. And it was getting late. People were getting hungry. And the disciples kind of were going to Jesus, you know, like that. I don't know if any of them were going like this to him. Sometimes those of us who are preachers, our wives do that to us. But they were telling Jesus, you know, it's late. We need to let these people go. Let them go home, get something to eat. And Jesus turned to them and he said, you feed them. Do you ever feel like God asks you to do stuff that you can't do? Using resources you don't have? Well, that's been our experience. But did you notice what the disciples did? Well, first of all, they found a kid who had some bread and some fish. They brought that to Jesus, put it in his hands. He broke it and he blessed it. I'm not sure when the miracle occurred, at what stage of this process it occurred. But Jesus then turned to the disciples and he said, he asked them to do something he knew they knew how to do. And that was count to 50. Now, that's a bit of a challenge for me. I can get to 20, okay. But he got them to count to 50. He said, break the people up into groups of 50. And then they started distributing the food. The way Jesus enables us to do what we cannot do with resources we do not have is simply by being obedient when he asks us to do something we can do, which maybe is counting to 50. And this incredible miracle occurred. I mean, they fed all those people and 12 baskets of food were left over. I'm sure they would have sent it all over to Potter's house, all right? There are times when God has called us to do stuff we cannot do with resources we do not have, but he just asks us to be obedient. When we started out, we were assigned to Kenya, and I was asked to go to Nairobi. Beth and I were going to be going to Nairobi to start a second church for the Africa Gospel Church, the church we work with in Kenya, in Nairobi, a new church plant. And the situation was they asked me to kind of serve as the senior pastor at Good Shepherd Church, which at the time was a church of about 250 people, and just for about 6 or 9 months. Now, let me tell you something. Doug Carter talked about being asked to go out to Arizona for just a short assignment, temporary assignment. When WGM asks you to do a temporary assignment, you'd better watch out. Because we went there for 6 months and stayed about 10 years. And I was a little bit irritated. And I went to my country director at the time. It was Dean Strong at the time. Many of you may know Dean Strong. And I said, I didn't come here to pastor a church. I came here to be a church planter. He said, find some way to do it as the pastor of that church. And that irritated me. because he was asking me to do what I could not do with resources I did not have. But I took it as a word from the Lord. And so what did we do? We started planting daughter churches. We would train a group of people in the church, our best Sunday school teachers, our best tithers, our best board members, and we would give them away to starting new congregations. We'd bring guys on staff from the Bible college, gals on staff who graduated from Bible college. They'd be on staff with us for a year or two to gain some experience. We'd spin them off into the church planting projects. And last time I had gotten the count, 46 churches had started tying back to that church. Just amazing. Had Beth and I do it, we might have started one or two or three. But God asked us to do something we could not do with resources we did not have, and to do it by taking small steps of obedience, and I discovered that's just the way ministry works. Always has, always will. We were asked to go over to Uganda for 6 months. We stayed 12 years in Uganda on that 6 month assignment. We were asked to try to get a community health and evangelism ministry up and running. We had no team. We started with what we had, and we just took small steps of obedience. And Beth told you about how it had been spread up into South Sudan. I get these reports from the African teams, the folks that we have trained, how churches are being planted, people are coming to Jesus. It was exciting hearing Michelle talking about Muslims coming to Christ, because in Uganda, there's a lot of Muslims in the villages, and they are winnable. Let us never think Muslims are not winnable. They are. They are. And in one of the villages, they had kind of a gathering for all the families of people where the children had been trained in children's Che. Now, what we do is we teach the kids, and then they go home and teach their family health lessons, hygiene lessons, and spiritual lessons. And one of the lessons is that you need to wash your hands after you use the toilet, the bathroom. And so now, all throughout that part of Africa, whenever Dad goes into the latrine, they have deep pit latrines, whenever Dad goes into the latrine and he comes out, the kids are standing there. Make sure Daddy washes his hands. And we teach them to sing a song. And they have to wash their hands, and they can't stop washing until they finish singing the songs. And so these kids are out there and say, "Sing the song, Daddy." And they irritate the dads to no end. It's really a whole lot of fun to watch. They had a gathering of the families whose kids had been involved in this program. And one of the men stood up, and he said, to his friends in the village, he said, "You know, we don't attend your church. My family, we're Muslims. But I let my kids come." He said, I appreciate what you Christians are doing. He said, "You're respectful to my faith. I know you don't believe the same as we do, but you're respectful to my faith, and you're respectful to our family. But our kids come home, and they teach us the stuff you're teaching them. They tell us the Bible stories. And I got to tell you, my kids obey their mother better than they used to. And they keep their rooms picked up more than they used to." And he said, "You know, if faith will get that to happen in a family," he said, "I think maybe we need to become Christians." And who would have thought that kids standing outside the latrine making sure Daddy sings the song while he washes his hands would result in a family coming to Christ. When we are obedient in small things, God blesses them and does some absolutely incredible things. One of our Che teams lived up on the side of an extinct volcano that kind of straddles the border of Kenya and Uganda. It's called Mount Elgon. They live on the side of this volcano. The soil is very, very poor. There's a lot of landslides because it's just volcanic ash, and when it rains a lot, they have mudslides. It's a lousy place to live, but that's home. And the Che team was looking for a way to serve the community. And so they decided, they found a lot of kids in the community weren't immunized, couldn't go to school because they weren't immunized. And so they went to the county health or the county health department and said, if we got everybody organized, would you send somebody out there to give the kids, as they call it, to give the kids the jab? And they said, sure, you get them organized, we'll do it. So they went all around, told everybody, on market day, on this week, bring your kids, because all the kids are going to get immunized, so they can go to school. And they went to the local chief, and they asked the chief to make sure he was on board. You do that, you make sure the local chief is satisfied with that. Well, the day came for the immunizations, and they went by the chief's office to remind him that today was the day, and he said, oh, right. He said, I'll get the police out in the community as well to remind the people. So the police fanned out throughout the community, and by the way, in Africa, when a policeman carrying an Uzi shows up at your house and says, the chief says you need to be in town with all your kids today, there's only one reply. Yes, sir. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I want you to know that normally, as a ministry strategy, World Gospel Mission does not use armed policemen to get people to do stuff. But on that day, it worked out real well for us. Had a great crowd there. And the people from the health department said, we just got a grant to build a clinic in this area, and we've been looking at three different communities and trying to decide where to build that clinic. We are so impressed with the initiative you guys have shown. We're going to build that clinic here in this town. And everybody was excited. That was really great. Yeah, that's a big deal. Now, the chief, who is essentially a politician, he's out there going. But the people in the community knew it was the church. It was God's people that brought this blessing to their community, and it resulted in God at work in an amazing way. Small obediences is what happens. Now, you talked about how we're taking missionary offering this morning, taking another one tonight, and I appreciated Doug's comment about that check for $10,000. You know, there's some of us here, we could write a check for $10,000 for missions, for Benji and for Michelle and some other people, and we call that a great blessing. Most of us here, we write a check for $10,000, they call that a felony in most parts of the country. But God calls us to be obedient. When God asks us to do what we cannot do with resources we do not have, what he's asking us to do is to be obedient. Maybe the only thing we can do is count our fingers and toes and borrow the fingers and toes of two and a half or a friend and a half other somebody else. But God is calling us. God calls some of us to go. And my wife and I are grateful that that's the call that God put on our lives. He calls more to let go. Let's face it, a lot of moms and dads, a lot of grandparents, your greatest fear is that God would call your kids or your grandkids to go to Papua New Guinea. I mean, for some of you, it would take an act of the grace of God for you to let your kids go to Stockbridge. You got to let go. Got to let go. And God calls all of us to help go. As we give, as we pray, and let's remember, that explains the fire. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Jesus, help us. Help us each one to be faithful to the call that you have placed upon our lives. And Lord, for us to realize whether we are involved in ministry, whether we're trying to just raise our family, Lord, every one of us, you're calling us to do things we cannot do with resources we do not have. And yet, Lord, we discover the way to seeing you work is by taking those steps of obedience. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to do that. We pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen.
Let's give our appreciation to the Muehlheisens and to the Jenkins. And I would ask the Muehlheisens to come up here up front, and we would like to pray for you. And if you feel led, you can join around them, lay hands on them.